Monday, August 3rd, and this is Season 4, Episode 1 of the 4-Star Spurs Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony. With me this week, we have Rick.
Hello.
Kevin.
What's up, guys?
Tommy.
What up, what up?
And Lucas.
Hello, hello.
Isn't it great to be back after a long summer, guys? I mean, it was nice to have the break after the Champions League episode. Like, I was ready to not talk Spurs for several weeks, but that several weeks happened, and I've just been itching to talk more and more. How about you guys?
I was ready for Tottenham to just play another game and fucking win it or something, because that's all I've thought about pretty much since that day. So
I remember back in March when we had just lost to Southampton away on that awful loss, and then we had 20 straight days off before our next game, and I thought it was so brutal because we had 20 days with that salty taste in our mouth after that bad loss. I had no idea what was coming, because having 10 weeks with that taste in my mouth after that final is just, that was more than I could bear. So I'm so ready to get going and get ready for Villa here.
You know, at least with the final, there was the fact that we made a Champions League final, which feels good regardless of how the performance, the way the final rolled out was not a very exciting match. But at least we could feel good about making it that far with that one, which made it a little bit easier to bear the long stretch. But still, it's been a long summer, but it's good to be back, and I think we have a lot of exciting stuff to talk about. I did want to start the conversation with a question that we got from one of our best listeners and one-time guest, Shubes. So Shubes asked us kind of a question about the NFL that I think is kind of a good way to start.
Yeah, yes. Will the NFL games, assuming they involve your sides, he calls them, at the lane this season, make it easier for U.S. fans to come over? Or like the ICC games, will they be too expensive? P.S. Bring Boris some Malort.
Well, there is a certain issue there. And actually, some of you probably know that I just became chairman of Chicago Spurs. Like, we're not affiliated directly with Chicago Spurs, but because of that, I'm kind of involved with the club requesting tickets. And the Bears are, our Chicago Bears are coming to London this year to play a match. And we thought that would be a great opportunity for us to take a trip and try and get tickets to both. Unfortunately, the tickets sold out as soon as they went on sale, and the club really can't do much to help us get tickets when I asked them about it, which is understandable. The NFL is selling those tickets, they're getting part of the revenue, but they don't have any direct control over the ticketing, so I totally understand that. But we can't really get tickets to those games, unfortunately.
I think also with that, in Europe, football prices for matches are relatively affordable. Like Germany, I heard it's like $30 a match for like the cheapest seats. In England, it's like the most expensive compared out of the top five. But even like, I think all of us went, it was like $65-$70, and we were like 20 rows back. So that's actually pretty affordable considering the circumstance, or by American standards. But for NFL games, it is, you can easily pay $200-$300 for a good, very good seat. So It's kind of a hot mess, but I think for anybody that doesn't know, the Bears play the Raiders at the new stadium on October 6th, and it's an away day. The previous day, Spurs playing at Brighton, so you know it's a 20,000 seater stadium at the Amex, or however you call it, or Amex. So seats with that are going to be very hard to find as well. So pulling double duty for that is just going to be hard regardless.
Yeah. So basically, to answer with like kind of what you said, the thing about Bears games, like why they're so expensive for people that don't know, is that the Bears have 8 home games. So that's why a Class A match for Spurs, like the Derby or even a Champions League against Barcelona at home, that's going to be about like 80, 90 pounds for a seat. You're going to find that for any Bears. The worst seat in the house for a Bears game is going to be similar, because there's only 8 Bears home game a year. So what I found, though, is to answer Shub's question, is like you're not going to see that many people go out to see Spurs, the new stadium, because of the Bears. Because like Tommy said, like we played the day before. So you're going to, I know a couple people that have went or that are going, and it's just because they want to see the new stadium and love the Bears, but they also love Spurs. It's a very, very minute very small crowd that is diehard Bears and diehard Spurs that are going to want to go out and see the new stadium for Spurs. Most people are going to want to go see the new stadium with Spurs in it, not the Bears.
Yeah, I would agree. That's well, where I want to see
what, that's kind of what I think because, I mean, there are NFL games that go on not at White Hart Lane. You know, they go on at Wembley Stadium.
Well, not anymore, right?
Yeah, no, they still do. They still do.
There's still going to be more?
Oh, yeah.
I thought we had an exclusive contract.
No, it's a supplement.
It's just a contract for a certain amount.
Yeah, we're contracted for a certain amount, and so is Wembley. So there is a market for people that go to these games irrespective of Spurs. They're just going to NFL games. The fact that it's at Wembley or White Hart Lane makes no difference.
Like the Marlins guy who goes to every random game known to man.
To be that guy, man.
But also, the other thing that must be considered is just the potential money for travel and everything. Because if you're going to do... Because the following week is actually international break. I'm assuming Tottenham Hotspur actually requested that game on that date on purpose so they can sort out all the kinks and don't have to deal with the game the following week. So that makes sense. But also, because of that, you're going to have to stay a week before or do that, be lucky to go to Brighton and then go, to Tottenham.
Yeah, because they really don't know what's going to happen after an NFL game. They don't know. They have no idea. So to have the international break afterwards is probably a good idea.
The pitch could get stuck on and they can't.
Yeah, something could happen.
And it's safe to assume that Spurs are like, they told the FA, they're like, we do not want for the first match, our first NFL game, we do not want a game before or after within consecutive days because there's going to be a bunch of quality assurance issues potentially. So, it'll be stupid to do that.
Well, I want to move it along into our first topic of conversation. And I wanted to start talking about the players that we've transferred out and in already. So we're not going to talk about the second half. We're going to wait till second half to talk about the transfer window closing and the rumors are still flying around. But I want to talk about who we brought in already. And I think we have to start that conversation with Ndombele. I believe it's pronounced Ndombele, right? I heard that the N might be silent. Or the
Ndombele.
I think it's Ndombele.
The most important thing is Ndombele.
Tangy.
That's the most important thing.
Tan guy.
Tingy. If you call him Tan guy, you're an idiot. That's not how he said it. The second he made his video with Spurs, he said, hello, it's Tingy. I'm like, all right, that's how we're going to say it.
Tingy. Tingy? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
I just want to see Lucas's face when you mentioned Trippier.
You stole my point. I'm so excited to talk about it.
We'll get there. But
when he said transfers out, I think
Ndombele or Ndombele deserves our attention. And this was a bit of a coup, I think. I mean, we did spend more money than we have on any other transfer, but that seems to be the trend that everybody's going towards. I mean, we just saw a defender get $80 million today, I think, is what I...
Which is absolutely ridiculous.
It was ridiculous with Maguire. But for what we paid, I think this is a good deal for us, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also a case of, I really hate when they use that term like record sale or record transfer, because the sport itself, you have the inflation. When we sold Bale, that was the record transfer, not just for Spurs, but for the history of football. There had never been a signing of that magnitude. And then...
Yeah,
4 years down the line, and Liverpool bought Alisson for close to like 75 pounds or 75 mil or something. So it was like the amounts are getting what used to be a 20. Like, we bought Soldado, our record transfer, which ironically was 6 years ago to this day. So take that into consideration where we are today. Thank you. But we bought Soldado for our record transfer fee. At that time,
it was a tie with
6 years ago
with Lamella. They both were the same transfer fee.
Look at what that was, and that was a big deal. And now we sold a right back 2 years ago. We sold a right back for $50 million. So it's like inflation is really, really. It kind of ruins that whole record transfer thing.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Lucas. But we also, I mean. We definitely spent some money on him, like even with inflation. Like, what was it? I think it was like $68 million. I don't know what that turns into pounds.
It's 1.2 is conversion.
Okay,
so if it's 62 maybe like 56.
I think it was 60 million euros, which is about 56 million pounds.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's still an investment. And what was awesome was how early it happened. We heard the rumors for like not that long. It was like a week or something.
We were hearing them before the end of the season, though, because we talked about it on the last couple pods of the season.
And
so,
I looked at my notes on the back page. It was on there.
Yeah, it was floating out there before the Champions League final happened. So it was out there a little while, but it still went really fast compared to these other transfers that we're talking
just
about.
As early in the window that it happened, it gave me a lot of hope. And now here we are, 5 days until... And he's basically the only guy we bought because Jack Clark was the other one, and we just loaned him back to Leeds.
Yeah, but
got Nkudu back. Big, that's like a new signing, right?
Well, he. By the way, Jack Clark didn't even start or feature for Leeds yesterday. Did anyone else notice that?
No, he's been. I think he was.
Is he hurt? Or something?
Okay. Like he had been hurt.
That spooked me a little bit. I'm like, who the fuck did we just buy?
No, like I think what happened is he had. Like, he had some known injuries, which was why they were kind of why we got him for a decent price. And I think we're counting on him rehabbing and on this loan and then getting some minutes and then getting ready for play again. And then maybe we keep him around next year if he's looking ready to go. So I think the Jack Clark move is good. And Ndombele is I think exactly what we need. I mean, like, this is showing up the midfield. I mean, I think we still have a huge winger problem, or wing back problem, I should say. But but this definitely helps fix the midfield problem that we were facing for sure.
Well, yeah, essentially he replaces Dembele, but we still have a lot to replace. Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
Well, I think that even that central midfield pairing. Dyer's coming back off of it, or he had another little injury. Wanyama, same. He's transfer listed, or he was looking for another club. He didn't even travel.
Well, Wanyama's dead, so he's not
allegedly. So, I mean, Sissoko, I think he just had a little bit of an injury. So
yeah, but he played. When was that? Was that yesterday? Yeah.
We didn't play yesterday. Oh yeah, we did.
Whatever.
And we'll talk preseason fast, but I think they the Sissoko Ndombele pairing looks like it's going to be pretty fun time, fun thing to watch. It really seemed in the preseason games that it could be
I don't think it's going to be Sissoko.
I think it's going to be Winks.
I think it is more lined up for Winks, but I think judging by injuries that we have, I think we're going to see that pairing happen a lot, and I think it could be a dynamic, fun thing to watch. It probably won't be as steady as we want, but
it'll be exciting for the wrong reasons.
It'll be exciting moving forward, I think.
I think we're going to see a lot of great things out of Sissoko and Ndombele because Sissoko will no longer have to babysit Trippier. And that's part of this question, which is the transfers out. And I said all summer the only signing that I cared about was Trippier signing with someone else. And now, if they had taken my advice last year after the World Cup, we would have got him for double the price, and we would have had less of the games lost than we did.
But that's hindsight.
We are now going to see, and you know what? This is going to sound a little bit pessimistic, too, because I would never wish ill on one of my own players. But I think one of the nice parts about Juanito getting that injury that he got is we are going to see now, we are now forced to have Kyle Walker-Peters or Serge be our right back, and I think they're both going to excel. They have been filled with potential for these last 2 years, and they just haven't got their shot. And now we're going to see them both get our shot, and I hope those two compete because those are two fullbacks that can A, defend, sorry Tripp, can't do that, B, can actually attack and know positionally where to put themselves to not get boned in multiple games. So I'm very excited to see both those guys.
I don't want to hear about any of our players getting boned.
Yeah, well, Tripp's the king of it, so we don't have to worry about that anymore.
You know, Lucas, I agree with you on Trippier going. I'm more than happy to sell him. I think we got a reasonable price for him. I'm happy to see him go, but I am going to play the devil's advocate a little bit. Like I was right with you with Trippier, but I think he's still somebody that you have to bring a replacement in for, and I don't know who that replacement is in existence. Like, just because REA is hurt so much, and I still think Walker-Peters might be a little bit raw. Like, it doesn't seem like they have total trust for him in the big game yet. Like, I think they have a lot of trust for him in the lower Premier League team games, and I think they have trust for him when you're talking, like, obviously League Cup and FA Cup. But
like, really quick, it's just, that was the thing is, Serge A, the injury factor was just a matter of, it was just timing, it was poor timing. Every time he got a stretch of games last year, he was Poch's number one choice. Him and Tripp were both healthy against Dortmund for both legs. Serge got the start. Serge looked amazing for both legs against Dortmund, and then he got hurt in an Ivory Coast game. But again, to what you said in terms of that trust thing, sometimes that trust needs to be a forced leap of faith, and that's what Sissoko was. We finally got to see Sissoko in a regular run of games in his favorite position, and he looked great. He sucked for a couple of years. Maybe this is what Kyle Walker-Peters needs to be forced into this position, and he's going to be great.
And case in point, back in 2010, an unknown player known as Gareth Bale, Harry Redknapp got forced his hand and played him, and he actually turned out great for us. So, but to answer your question, Anthony, no, we didn't need a big replacement, like Lucas said. Because Kyle Walker-Peters last season, he signed a contract extension. Apparently, he's supposed to be better than Trent something.
No fucking chance is he better than Trent. That was allegedly. There's no
Henderson
chance.
Arnold or whatever. I said allegedly, and let me finish. So, but even that, Ori, I still have high hopes for him. I think he's a little inconsistent, but he needs to play. But aside from that, Juan Foyth, he played as right back last season as well. Even before that, Eric Dyer played.
That was a bit shaky.
Oh, yes.
Sissoko played it too, but I don't think that's the solution necessarily.
But even Eric Dyer, he played right back at the beginning of his Spurs career. So in theory, we have four options. Might not be great right now, but let's be fair.
But we're talking Band-Aid options. What do you think, Kevin?
I'll be quick. No, but like in terms of Aurier, we gotta roll the dice on him because he's about to enter his prime, and our Kieran Trippier, he was just wasting space right now.
I think our two best right backs are Serge and Foyth. I don't think Kyle Walker-Peters hasn't shown me anything, especially to the hype that he had from a lot of people on Twitter. He never looks fully confident. He gave the ball away for both of the goals in the preseason game yesterday or whenever the fuck it was. I can't remember.
We're talking about practice.
I don't give a shit. He gave the ball away that led to both of the goals and they were like very close together. He doesn't show anything positive to me. Like, he's okay. I don't think he's just going to magically become amazing.
Well, and on your point real fast before Rick jumps in, Foyth, like, you have a point that he seems to be what Poch likes in a backup.
He's playing there for Argentina
back.
For sake.
Like, you think of Ben Davies. He loves Ben Davies, and he provides steady defense, stability moving forward, but not quite the same attack that he gets out of his primary wing back. Foyth does seem to have the characteristics of what he likes in a backup. So you have a point there. But what do you think, Rick?
I think you're all getting bogged down in minutiae. I really do. You know, this player's that player's this, and so on and so forth. I've come up with a philosophy for this new season, and I want you to just understand where I'm coming from, okay? So I have four new rules now, okay? Rule number one is my opinion is now going to be based on what happens this season, not depending on what happened or any biases from last season. So I'm not going to be on Sissoko's back because of last season. I'm not going to be on anybody else's back. I'm going to determine.
This is a fun change.
I just want to point out that you're talking. Not. I do agree with you that Sissoko wasn't as good as a lot of people say, but like to say nobody should have been on Sissoko's back last year.
Okay.
I'm making a bet right now. I'm giving you again, five games.
Okay.
Five. That's
so, his point is.
My opinions are going to be based on this season, alone. So if someone shit this season or good this season, I'll say it. And whatever happened last season or previous seasons is irrelevant.
Well, we'll hold you to that.
Okay, so back to, back to players. Hold on, I'm not finished. It's only number one.
Okay.
Number two, the same goes for Poch. Now, Poch is... he sort of had a honeymoon period that keeps going and going and going and going. You know, and people keep saying, oh, he's great, he's great, he does this and does that. But he makes horrendous mistakes, which we either ignore or forgive him for.
I mean, you're basing that off of previous seasons.
I mean, Mora starting, not starting, and Harry Kane starting in the Champions League final.
That's hindsight.
Was a horrendous mistake.
That's hindsight. You don't
Let Rick finish.
Again, so I'm going to base my opinions on Poch or not on what he did last season or the season before or where we finished or so. It's what he does this season is going to be what my opinion is going to be based on.
I'm going to make this quick because I know we got to move on. But
well, I got number three and number four left.
I still have to interject right now and say I completely agree. My thing is if we're going to hold Levy to a standard that we hold him to with his mistakes and his everything, it's been my pet peeve over the last few years too is how we hold Poch to some of the – Poch has done some of the greatest things that we've ever seen in our entire lives for this club. But he's also made horrific blunders, and we have to be able to call him on both sides.
Even putting him on
our
pedestal.
And for that – to put that whole summer for the last 10 weeks, all that's been racking my brain is that – if Poch were to leave today, I would never forgive him for not starting Lucas over Kane in that Champions League final. It's been haunting me for 10 weeks.
Okay.
Well, here's something that probably...
I still got number three and number four.
I just want to interject real quick. Please.
Okay.
Number three. My score predictions. I'm actually going to do some sensible ones this year.
Hey! Holy shit balls.
That's a fun twist.
I'm actually going to not only... predict what I think, but it's going to be irrespective of biases. So, you know, I may actually predict losses or draws or so on and so forth. So I'm going to be sensible with that. And number four, which I can't remember. let me get back to you, number four. I can't remember what it was.
Okay. Well, here are some things that I think we can agree that probably were some decent moves by Poch, and the first one was selling Vincent Janssen. I think we can all agree that that was probably the...
I think
the
Lucas credit. Might disagree.
you think it was the wrong move? I was happy for him.
Will you bring the scarf Saturday?
The scarf lives on.
Kind of weird that he's in Mexico. Like, that just seems like such a weird place.
He's going to score 20 goals for Monterrey.
Thick Vinny, man. He's going to get extra thick eating all them tacos and stuff.
Oh, he's going to be a unit, just 400 pounds.
He's going to be gorging an Al Pastor.
If he can do well in the Dutch league, hell, I think he can do well in Mexico.
Look, the fact that we got half of what we bought for him.
I think he will look good there.
He's got I think he's kind of taking a page off of, what's his name, Andre Pierre Gignac, who plays for Tigres now, formerly of Marseille. He's trying to reinvent, it's safe to assume he's reinventing his career, but I wish him luck. Hopefully he averages a goal per game, but, I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, and it sounds like currently, like, Llorente is unsigned.
He's released.
So he's essentially released.
Vorm as well.
So he's probably not, likely coming back. And then Vorm, I think it was time. Like, obviously we have a better backup at this point.
Especially to have a non-English...
With Gaza.
He's English. Gazaniga is homegrown English.
Yeah, I'm talking about Vorm.
But Vorm's not, so to let him go...
Your third keeper should just be a homegrown player, like, no matter
Whiteman.
What.
Yeah.
Yeah, Whiteman, yeah.
So that was the right move at this point. And, there's been some great Vorm moments over the years. And
some terrible ones, too.
And there's some terrible ones.
A couple FA Cup games.
But overall, I have good feelings about Vorm. Like, he seemed like he loved the club.
He's a locker room guy.
He probably could have played starting to other places, but he didn't seem to care to. He was happy just doing the role.
Love to say that Vorm did not get the respect he deserved. I think Vorm gave everything he had, and he stepped up in some pretty crucial, bogus moments where he got thrown under the bus. So I think Vorm was a great servant to the club. So 100%. Anything he goes on and does, I'm so happy for him. I wasn't ready to throw him under the bus like a lot of the people were that were like, oh, fuck Vorm, we want Gazaniga. Like, Vorm was great, and he got thrown into some pretty harsh situations. Like, oh, Hugo randomly gets sick before Liverpool at White Hart Lane, and now it's him, and or it's Vorm getting a 1-1 draw at St. Mary's because Sanchez flicked one in for an own goal. Like, he got some pretty raw deals, and I think Vorm played great for us, so I would totally love to give him a good shout-out.
Yeah, I think he deserves it. I mean, he certainly was part of the club, and I don't think he deserved any ill will leaving. I mean, any bad moments. Like,
to his discredit, it just happened that Gazzaniga came onto the scene and was the most attractive male to ever have an X and a Y chromosome.
And he's pretty ridiculously good, too. I
mean, Gazzaniga was saving PKs and being the most handsome person ever. Like, that's a bad deal to go against. But
hey, Michel, not too shabby himself.
Yeah. And his name's Michel. Yeah. Michel versus Paolo. I'm
like the
versus
guy from Hugo.
I mean, we got some. Yeah,
we've got some good keeper names. Right?
Got some good looking dudes.
Sexy keeper, Hugo. Keeper names.
For any ladies that want to join this podcast, we got some good looking blokes. Hugo, Michel,
Aurelio.
Well, before we go too far off the rails, I want to shift the conversation. So we've had some preseason games. I don't know how much you guys have watched. I've watched where I can. I haven't taken off of work, but like I've caught most of the weekends and caught the ones that were early morning before I went into work. What do you guys think of the performances that we've seen so far?
I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Preseason games mean nothing. Zero.
But I'm talking about the performances. I'm not talking about the games themselves.
Performances, it doesn't matter because we're playing players like Giorgio.
And guys like Ndombele who haven't played with the squad.
Giorgio's not going to start the season. You know, he's not.
Yeah, but he's how many minutes? We put out some pretty strong lineups in these games.
Yeah. I know, but
Harry's played like 60 minutes every game. I mean,
it's basically a fitness exercise.
But you get a sense to see where people's fitness is at, how whether they're looking unified yet. Like, you get to see individual players who are stepping up to the plate. I think there's things that we can find.
People can't put too much emphasis on preseason games.
I have two takeaways from what I've seen. I haven't been able to watch every minute or anything. I've just two of the games, I was at work, and then I was watching my daughter during whatever, if it was Saturday or Sunday. I fucking cannot remember
when that game was.
Can't remember
was
her
it
name.
Yesterday?
I was babysitting, but I can't remember
so
her name.
So my two takeaways, we've had some fantastic fast breaks where we've looked really dangerous. That's how we scored our first goal against Juve yesterday. It was Juve, right? No, it was Inter.
Inter.
And then my other takeaway is that Ndombele doesn't quite look ready to me. He's looked very good, but once he gets some minutes under his belt, he looks like he's laboring a bit. I think probably training with Poch for the first time. He's probably pretty exhausted getting into Poch fitness. But his footwork is fucking fantastic, man. Like
that pass to Mora.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And the fitness will come with time, probably.
Right, yeah.
Well, all right.
Yeah, he's 22 years old. He has no excuse.
A little bit of devil's advocate on it, and on Rick. Rick, I agree with you. If there's one thing I know about preseason, it means absolutely nothing. But there are some things that are good that can come from preseason. Last year, our preseason hero was Lucas Mora, and that earned him a place under Poch for those first three games. And he came out and he played great. He looked a little suspect against Newcastle at St. James on day one. Next week, he's got a goal at home against Fulham. Next week, he bashes two away at Man U. So it's like that was the one thing that you can see stars start to emerge and earn their place. But like Rick said, it's preseason. So if you were a hero in preseason and it doesn't translate, you're going to be quick to be out. But to play a little bit quick devil's advocate to Kevin, I just want to remind everyone, I think Ndombele is going to be heroic. I think he's going to be amazing. But I'm going to tie it back to Serge a little bit. Serge's first game that he played for us, Dortmund, Champions League, Wembley, he looked amazing that first game, and then everyone was quick to turn on him. So I think everyone with new signings needs to take a beat and let them actually emerge into the team, get some minutes under them before you start judging new players, especially guys that have never played in the Premier League. Let them have a day, have a couple weeks, play under Poch, and then we can start judging them before we just jump on them from their first performance.
Well, and we have a young striker that's kind of emerged in this preseason, yes, too, haven't we, Tommy?
Yes, Troy Parrott actually looks pretty good. He's
a fantastic Irishman, so that's that.
They said he was rumored to go to, I think, either Birmingham or no, Burnley or Brighton.
What's his name?
Troy Parrott.
Oh, okay.
But Nate was clamoring for him last season. But I want to go back to what you originally said, more or less echo Rick's statement. I don't expect anything. I think it's just a tune-up, more or less, like the old Allen Iverson adage goes. We're talking about practice here. More or less what I want to see is, are they going to get up to fitness? Is there any general cohesion with the squad? I was here and there watching the games last week. I was at the office and just kind of had an ear with both Audi Cup games. Nothing really surprised me or really wowed me, but I'm just like, but like I said, it's practice, so whatever. The main goal, nobody got injured.
Say, wait a minute.
Sissoko got a little injured, Ore injured.
Foyth injured, yeah, so Deli's injured.
So hopefully they recoup really soon. But, I mean, from what I saw, there was no major injuries. It's not like anybody tore ACLs or Achilles. So
Foyth is going to miss like a month at least.
It could be worse, let's just say.
Deli's probably going to miss the first two. That includes City. We didn't buy anybody. We bought one fucking guy.
Right, and we'll talk the transfer rumor second half. There might still be opportunities.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we're technically in worse shape now than we were at the beginning of last season.
Yeah, and that's going to be a good second half conversation to roll into. But I do want to keep us moving here. We do have one question from Suge that applies to the preseason form that I do want to make sure that we get to before we move on to our season predictions and then the halftime. So, Kevin, what's the question we have from Suge?
Yeah, Suge says, oh, hey, guys. How excited are you? Jesus, Tommy.
Yeah, I know.
Have you been drinking? You just almost fell over.
Yeah, that's 2% steel's really hitting me hard.
Lightweight. Anyways, Suge says, oh, hey, guys. How excited are you to be Audi Cup 2019 champs? I'm pumped. Not as much as Lucas was. He wouldn't give that trophy up. Also funny about Lucas is he tweeted that was the quote-unquote first trophy he'd won with us, but he won the ICC last year.
Was he talking about Lucas? I'm sorry to interject here. Was Shubes talking about Lucas Moore or
Suge.
Lucas me?
Suge, not Shubes.
Oh.
Suge, yeah. Okay.
From Minnesota.
All right, fair enough. So he was talking about me then,
no,
right?
Lucas Moura.
I was going to say, because in the group chat, I drove to that night I was coming off work, and I had all my Spurs gear on anyway because I don't leave the house without it. And I drove to an Audi dealership and took a selfie with all my Spurs stuff.
Nerd!
And I took a selfie with a picture of there was a guy that came out and was like, excuse me, sir, you need either test drive a car or get off our lot. And I was like, let me just get a couple picks for the boys. But I was excited to win the Audi Cup.
Hey, two trophies in 2 years, man.
Look, International Champions Cup, we couldn't defend it, so we got a new cup.
Yeah.
Let's do the same thing. Let's get a new cup in the fall. Let's get a new cup in the spring. Let's keep them rolling.
On a whole, obviously, we're not very excited about
obviously
these
we're being
preseason
sarcastic, but,
yeah. cups, but yeah, it's... We understand your point, Suge, and I think it's
my only regret is not having
Was Lucas Moura that excited about this, or was it?
Oh,
was
he tweeted.
Was it our Lucas
no,
that he was talking
he
about?
Tweeted about it.
Oh, okay.
Like, he was, and in all the pictures, he's holding the fucking trophy. Like, he was hyped.
And for the record, 4-star Spurs, we will retweet the picture of me with
yes.
the Audi Cup.
Oh, definitely. tonight.
We're now going to send that out. So
that will be the picture with the
episode. But Tommy was about to say
oh,
something.
No, my only regret is not having that Audi Cup tattoo that I saw. That guy beat me to the punch.
Oh, yeah, that is a little silly, but all fair play.
Pretty sure it was Photoshop, but whatever.
I hope it was Photoshopped, yeah. All fair play, but I want to move into season predictions. We're going to go with the same predictions that we did last year. I think it was pretty good form. So I'll go around the table, and then we'll get the rest of the podcast off the air, but get everybody here on the air for what we think. And we'll start with the league. So I want everybody to predict where you think we're going to finish in the league this year. I'll start this one. I'm going to predict third place. Obviously, incomplete information. We don't know if we have any other transfers coming. We don't know what injuries might be coming down the road. But I think with the information I have, what I see going around the league, I think third is a fair, safe bet at this point. And I'm going to play it safe on this one, and I'm going to say third. What do you think, Rick? Where do you think we finish this year?
Oh, we're going to finish first. Now, I say that.
I thought you were making realistic.
No. I have,
you're going to qualify this?
I'm going to definitely qualify this. City to win it three times in a row is extremely difficult. Liverpool haven't bought anybody, and I don't think they can keep it up. They were not very good at the end of last season. We should have won the Champions League. They were awful. I just don't think they're as good. Chelsea have issues with, you know, not being able to sign players. Arsenal are signing every forward player in the fucking world, but they can't defend. And Man United are linked with everybody, but not buying anybody. So, I think we're probably the most stable out of all of the top six.
Unless you're spending $80 million on a defender, then
yeah,
they...
I was going to say, they just bought two of the best defenders from last year.
Yeah,
but the best defenders? Questionable.
Yeah, but they got Pogba, who either doesn't want to play or doesn't care. They got Sanchez, who doesn't want to play and doesn't care.
Yeah, but he hasn't played. I'm not arguing that they're going to finish above us, but to say that they haven't improved?
I mean, they have no midfield, none. I mean, they really don't. They haven't improved midfield at all. They signed Maguire for $80 million, and he's not worth half that.
Okay, but we got ground to cover, so let's. So Rick has first. What do you have, Kevin?
I think third. Yeah, I just don't see us finishing. A lot of people think, like what Rick just said, Liverpool haven't really done much in the transfer window. Other than like get rid of some people, so I could see them like having a little bit of a downturn. But didn't they finish like 20 points ahead of us or something? Like,
yeah,
that's a lot of points to make up. Just they're still fucking amazing. Like their attack, and they have the best defense probably in the world.
And we only brought in Dombele and.
Yeah, I don't think we've made enough moves to improve our situation. Correct. We're talking about with incomplete information right now.
Incomplete
like
information,
said, but,
that's true.
So I don't see us moving above either of them. But yeah, so I think third, because I don't think anybody below us has really improved. Like, I pretty much agree with what Rick said, but that we're not going to make up enough ground to finish above either City or Liverpool.
That's where I'm at. Yeah, like I do agree that those top teams are going
to slide. I think it will be much closer.
But it's going to be a much better competition this year. I agree. Tommy, what do you have?
I'm going to be a pessimist. I'm going to say fourth. I still think, excuse me, we do have the quality to qualify for Champions League. While Rick has some good points, the signing of Ndombele and nobody else right now, we have our turnover is at a negative number right now, just off of first teamers. So... And I think, I don't know if we're going to talk about this in the future or like random prediction, but I think injuries are probably going to happen more just because we don't have the depth. As an example, I wouldn't be surprised if Son got injured just because he's played. I watched, for anybody that goes on YouTube, follow Tifo Football.
La 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 la. I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear Son getting hurt, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay, but Tifo Football actually had a good point about the miles or games that players have played. They noted that Heung-min's son played 80 games last season from starting with the World Cup until the Champions League final. That's a lot of mileage for anybody. So yeah. I think him or Kane, he routinely gets injured every season, and we have no true striker right now. It's a little problematic. You know, central midfield, aside from Ndombele right now, it's a little bit scary as well. I think transfer or contract talks, if nothing gets resolved by the end of this week, that's going to get in a lot of the players' heads potentially. So that's my logic.
Okay, Lucas, what do you have?
I think that I was excited to hear Rick with realistic realistic talks is what he promised, and so I'm going to back him up for one for one. I think we're going to win the league.
Jesus.
I think we're going to win the league, and here's why. Fuck it. No, I'm just kidding. And no, I think that we are... I think that everyone's freaking out about transfers, and you can say this. I know we're always getting injured. We have... Everyone claims that we have no depth, but barring tonsillitis, appendicitis, last year was the freakiest thing that could have ever happened to us. We had Wanyama never come back. We had Dyer just disappear with injuries. Dyer and Wanyama are dependable midfielders that we have seen
that
flourish.
Weren't dependable last
year. But we've seen them, yeah, because last year they had crazy injury stuff going on. So I think that this year, if we are to stay remotely healthy, we will see so much depth. We can rotate guys. It doesn't have to be the same 11 Harry Redknapp style like it always is.
Oh, bodies doesn't
we
equal
can
depth,
see,
though.
Yeah. But again, a Dyer, a Wanyama, if they're playing and they're training full out every week, week in and week out, I think that we have the guys. And like Rick said, I think that City and Liverpool are going to get figured out, and I think that we will have the depth to win the league. So I think we're going to win the league.
Okay, well, that's a good prediction. I'm going to we're going to move it along a little bit faster with these other predictions because we have a lot to get through before we go to half here. But let's talk about the Champions League prediction next. And I'm going to say that we finish in the semifinal this year. I mean, I don't think we're going to make the final again. That's like a once-in-a-decade chance, probably. I would love to think that we could get there again and win it this time. But I'm being realistic by saying that I don't think we're going to. But I think semi it would be a great feat to do the year after we make the final. So I'll say that we make it to the Champions League semifinal. What do you have, Lucas?
I mean, it's a little bit difficult to see because the whole tournament resolves on luck and what your draw is at group stage and every round. But I think that last year we showed that no matter what injuries we had, we always stepped up on Champions League day, and that was with Wembley. Now we have a full season with us at home. We're back in N17. We don't have to worry about Wembley. I think that this year, Champions League, every game we're going to step up. So I have no reason to believe that we won't go back to the final. So without seeing a prediction with
the... Are you saying winner or finalist?
Let's win it. Liverpool did it. We're better than them. Let's win it.
Okay, Tommy, what do you got?
I'm predicting the double.
Okay, I'm predicting quarterfinal. I think we showed enough resiliency the past few years to consistently get out of the group stage. I think, eventually, like I said, lack of depth, even though Lucas would disagree with me, I'm fine. I mean, you're entitled to your own opinion, but I think the lack of bodies or potential attrition, it's going to catch up to us.
Kevin?
I agree with Tommy. I think quarterfinal, it's just so hard to get back to. I know Liverpool just did it, but like that just makes it statistically that much more impossible to do it. I know that doesn't really make sense because you got to take each case by itself. But getting back, I mean, it's a tournament when it comes down to it, and tournaments are very difficult to win.
It's elimination, so, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it takes 20 minutes of fucking losing your mind and some really bad shit happening. So I would be very happy with a quarterfinal, but would not be surprised if we make it past as well.
Okay, so Rick, what do you have for Champions League?
I don't think we'll get out of a group stage. I think we'll get out.
We're in pot two. If we don't get out, that's shambles.
I think we'll get some horrendous opposition and not get out of a group stage.
It is. I see your point, and that is a possibility given the difficulty of the competition.
And I really very quickly want to interject. Rick, you're absolutely right. But for the last couple of years, the only year we didn't get out was when we had an easy pod. The last 2 years, we had the group of death, and we found our way through. One, we won it with a game to spare. And then the other one, we won it, and Inter Milan was our pot 14.
Mm.
So no, I feel like the harder our opposition in a group stage, the more we step up.
No, I don't. I'm
hoping for a tough group.
I don't care. Well, it's not that I don't care. It's irrelevant who we get. I just don't think we're going to get out of group stage.
Well, we had him at Wembley. We're going to have him home.
Yep.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. We'll be in our home ground in this one. But let's move it along. So FA Cup, I am actually going to go on my limb here and pick us to win the FA Cup this year. I think this is the competition that we actually just finally break through on. We've been to a couple of semis in this. Like it's a grind, but I think that maybe this is the time that we pull through and get to the end of this cup and get our trophy. And it's not the trophy that we could have had with the Champions League, but I'm going to go with this one.
Yeah, I think if Poch wants to win a trophy, that's probably the one he should aim for, because the League Cup would be nice, I guess, but like nobody really cares about it. Nobody's going to be like, actually, I think if we won the League Cup, people would make fun of us for winning it. They'd be like, oh, it's the only cup they could ever fucking win, is the worst one, blah, blah, blah. It's the one, I mean, it's not the one I want to win the most, but it would be fucking fun to go to a FA Cup final and fucking be at the pub and watch an FA Cup final with other people that I fucking care about. And I don't know.
That's nice.
It's just, you know,
it's better than
Kevin cares about.
It's better than watching a final at some dickhead's wedding. I mean, like,
so your brother's Kevin's got first place for this one as well.
Yeah, I'm going to say we're going to throw everybody at this one. Hopefully we get some easy draw. I mean, last year we had a pretty favorable draw throughout the FA Cup until
Crystal
Palace that knocked us out, which was still favorable.
Oh. Yeah, but to be fair, we had just lost Kane and Ali within this. We had to play Man United in the league. We had to play Chelsea in the second leg of the League Cup semifinal, and then we had to play Palace like 4 days later, all within the span of 6 days. So, for God's sakes, in that FA Cup draw away at Selhurst against Palace, we had Trippier taking a penalty. So, I mean, like, we were not healthy for that game.
Yeah.
So maybe had we been healthy, we probably could have won the FA Cup. But
so maybe we get the more favorable draw this time.
Exactly.
So, since you're talking, Lucas, how do you have for this one? And we got to speed this up because we got a few more predictions to get through.
I'm saying quadruple. So
quadruple?
Quadruple. Yeah, we're winning
win.
Everything.
We can win.
We're winning the FA Cup, too. How about you, Tommy?
I don't know if we're going to win, but I think we can get to the final.
Okay, so you're thinking.
So I'll at least say finalists for the time being.
We're finalists. Okay, Rick, what do you have?
Semi-final. We always get knocked out of the semi-final for some reason.
Okay, so
can't happen again.
So it's going to happen again. Okay, yeah. Like Rick, you're realistic predictions are hurting me right now. Because like I want you to be the one to say, yeah, we.
Am
got
I the new Rick?
The new Rick is hurting right now. But let's see. League Cup, let's just do the speed one. My prediction is that we get knocked out the first game that we play. It's going to be against some bonehead side, and we like Poch just throws it down the river.
We never lose.
We've got more important stuff to play in the Champions League.
We never lose.
We're getting knocked out the first game that we play. That's my prediction here.
We never lose against bonehead sides. We'll go a couple of rounds, and then we'll get knocked out by
quarterfinals then?
Chelsea or someone. Quarterfinals.
Okay.
Okay, but I'm going to stick with my first game.
I agree with Rick. We probably win the first couple, and then would that be the quarterfinal? Win two? I don't know. I can't even remember.
No, win one is quarterfinals, I think.
No.
No.
FA Cup starts with 64 with the Premier League, so we win two, and we're in the round of 16.
We're on the
league.
No,
this is League Cup. Hello.
Oh, League Cup? We start at, what, 32? So, yeah.
No, it's 96. Is
League Cup, we start at... Look at last year. Last year we started the League Cup with Watford and then West Ham and then Arsenal and then Chelsea.
Man, we're looking intelligent here, boys.
So,
whatever.
We started Watford. So
I'll say quarterfinal.
To sum it up for
whatever
everyone,
that
I think,
is.
I think it's a little bit silly to try and predict tournaments that involve so much chance. And yeah. we could get another one where we had, what do we have, Rochdale, Newport, Millwall, all the way through to the quarterfinal.
That's
so we don't know. I know, but it's like we don't know what we're going to get. The other one, we drew the last time we were in the League Cup final, we drew Sheffield United in the semifinals. So don't know. It's just I think that we have the depth this year to do whatever we want. It's just going to depend on what Poch determines the priority at that moment.
So you think we're getting first in this one too?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Tommy?
Fourth round.
Fourth. Okay. So the next thing we're going to predict is our top six in the table. Then we're going to do relegation and we'll move along.
or that we have a long shot as well. So let's make this fast. I just want you to read your team predictions. Not much in the way of commentary. I'll do mine first. So I'm going to predict City to win. I'm going to predict Liverpool for second. I predicted Tottenham for third. Chelsea for fourth. Man U for fifth. And Scum for sixth. So what do you have, Rick?
Us first. City second. Liverpool third. Man United fourth. Chelsea fifth. Everton sixth.
Who was fourth?
United?
Yeah, United.
So you had Everton sixth and Scum not in it. I like that. What do you have, Kevin?
Man, the first and second's tough. Because I feel like, I know we're not supposed to comment, but I feel like City's going to put priority on Champions League.
Mm.
Because what does another league do for Pep? Nothing. So I feel like Liverpool still might lose if I like a point again, which would be awesome. All right, yeah, I'm going to go City, Liverpool, us, United. So City, Liverpool, us, United.
Chelsea?
No, Chelsea are... No, I'm going to say Wolves fifth.
Oh, no.
Chelsea sixth.
Wow, well, that's a bold prediction. I like that. Okay, Tommy, what do you got?
I don't know why I picked... Well, I know why I could pick first City. I don't know why I picked Chelsea second, but I did. Liverpool third, Spurs fourth, United fifth. And like Rick, Everton sixth.
Okay.
What do you have? Crack through.
What do you have, Lucas? You got Tottenham first, right?
Spurs are first, City second, Liverpool's third, United's fourth. Chelsea will be fifth, Arsenal will be sixth.
So just a straight up top six, huh?
Straight up top six. Okay. Wolves has to play a bunch of. They're going to be this year's Burnley. Too many Europa right off the bat for Wolves. They're going to see.
They did buy some people though.
Doesn't matter.
Well, let's do our relegation now. So I'll start again. It doesn't have to be in the correct order. Just the three teams that you expect to get relegated. I'm going to pick Norwich. I think Brighton's going to go down finally this year. And I think Sheffield will probably go back down as well. Two teams that came up, I think, are down, and then Brighton down with them. I think Villa stays up.
I think it's going to be Southampton goes down. They've been towing that line for a lot of time now. I think it's Southampton, and then the other two, I'm just going to go with wishful thinking. It's going to be Palace and West Ham. Get rid of them.
Two London squads.
Scumbags.
What do you have, Tommy?
I'm similar to you. I'm definitely going to say Brighton. I think it's going to be a similar case of Tony Pulis with Stokes. Like, they never thought they had it so good, and then once they realize they fire him, they're fucked. And I'm going to say Norwich, for anybody that watches Peep Show, they never turn up and win the league. Fucking pricks. And... let's see. I'm going to go with Lucas and say Southampton. They're kind of what you're saying, how they toe the line. It's kind of like Sunderland. Eventually, they're going to drop. Might as well be this season. I feel bad for their fans because their ownership is god-awful.
You know, I actually had them on my list, and I crossed them off, wrote them back on, and crossed them off again. I was between them and Sheffield going back down. So it's not a bad pick. I think you guys are onto something there. I almost made that prediction as well. What do you have, Kevin?
I agree with you guys, Brighton and Norwich, but I think Newcastle will go down.
Ooh, really? Newcastle. Drew, who works at the bar, will not be happy. He's been on the pod before for trash talk.
Fuck off, Drew.
Brighton, Sheffield United, and Newcastle. And Newcastle, because they got the worst manager in the history of the world.
That's a good point, yeah.
Oh, my God, he's just terrible.
You want to talk about thinking that you had a good go from Rafa to fucking Steve Bruce?
The man always looks like he's just been in a bar fight and fell out of a bar at, like, 1 a.m.
Or he just looks like he's lost. He's like, where am I? He always has that look, too. He's like,
He's just awful. Every club he's been to.
If anything, he kind of looks like a disoriented Cajal. For anybody that doesn't know Cajal, he owns the Atlantic Bar and Grill.
I mean, his statistic, his win percentage is like lower than any other manager. It's crazy. It's like 28% or something.
Yeah.
It's awful. I mean, he's now buying players and selling players, and they've lost a couple of their best players because they put in very small buyout clauses. I mean, some people just bought them. Perez was one. I think Newcastle are just doomed completely.
Fair prediction. So last prediction before we go to half. I think we did have one quick question that we'll have to answer too, Kevin, so get that queued up. But I just want people to shout out their long shot answer and we can ooh and ah at it. Mine isn't that weird, but I think Aston Villa is going to finish in the top half, so I think they'll be above
10th. I was actually going to say that.
So that's my prediction. I think Aston Villa will be finished above 10th place, so 9th or above in this season. So.
Solskjaer won't make Christmas.
Social won't make Christmas. Okay, that's your prediction?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you have, Kevin?
I don't know if this is like counts. I think Harry's going to break the record for most goals. Does that count?
No, that's a long shot, I think. Right. I mean, that's a fair like.
I feel like it's Spurs related though, so I don't know if it counts.
Hold on, he's going to score more
than Defoe?
He's gonna break the Premier League record.
The Premier League record?
That's like 100 plus goals. Shearer has like 256.
No, for a single season. You fucking retards.
Right, he already set the calendar year.
Yeah.
For a single season.
What currently is the amount?
I think it's like 30 something. Doesn't matter. Harry Kane already set the calendar year Premier League goal.
Because I know one player.
Why can't he set the single?
I know
campaign.
One player. Yeah? I know one player scored 49 goals, but that wasn't in the Premiership.
Dixie Dean in the mid 30s.
No, that was Clive Allen in 87. He scored 49 goals, but that wasn't Premiership.
Well, we'll move on because
there's no way. There is absolutely no way that Kane is going to get 49 goals.
We got stuff to cover in the back half. So,
Tommy, your long shot. Are I still yours, or do you want me to go? Lucas?
No, actually, Lucas, do it because I'm right.
Go ahead. What's
my long shot prediction? All right, I will say my long shot prediction is Serge Aurier, 10 assists.
10 assists. I think that's a good long shot prediction. I like that.
10 assists.
Actually, that's kind of in line.
I was the one that called Lucas Moura last summer, so
yeah.
I think I'm on fire. I think
you were
I'm
wrong on the assist part, but you did get the 15 goals.
I think the second half hat trick more than made up for my lack of assists on that one.
Fair point. Tell me, what do you have?
I know Rick's going to rip on me because he hates Liverpool, but I'm going to say Leicester, they're going to qualify for Europe one way or another, and I wouldn't be surprised if they won the League Cup.
Great. Okay, so we have a quick question that that applies to kind of this prediction. So let's answer that real fast, and let's go to half. Get a drink.
Yes, from I don't know how to pronounce this guy's last name. Ross Tepe or Teepe or Teep. I'm not sure.
I'll go with Tep.
So we either win no trophies this year. Or we win the FA Cup and League Cup, but by a sacrifice of Kane doing both ACLs at the end of the season. Would you take it?
No.
I just want a trophy, so yes.
No.
No, both ACLs? That's like done, dude. I don't know if
you
come back.
It was League Cup and FA?
Yeah, so win the double.
We get both. If Poch doesn't believe in him, nor do I. If he doesn't want those trophies, I believe that Harry Kane will take us to where we want to go. And we saw last year we were this close to getting where we wanted to go. Keep the faith. Keep everyone healthy. I think we can get to where we need to be.
You don't need to believe. You can just believe.
Fair enough. Yeah, I don't think you start trading player injuries for
especially
for
the best striker
trophies.
In the world.
No.
Yeah, it's
I really hate these. Do you want this or this question? You know, this
they're fun.
Let's take it all.
They're not fun.
This one actually isn't fun at all.
And this is
like
a new questioner, and I want to give him his just due.
No, I'm
like,
absolutely.
Like he's giving us a hypothetical that he wants us to like. It would be easy to trade a player for some trophies when you haven't had trophies in a long time.
Yeah,
and I understand
his point. Or something.
Yeah, it's like we can fill the cabinet a bit, but I think you have to keep Harry healthy, right? What do you think, Rick?
I'm very grateful for the question. And I hope he sends us more questions. Just better questions.
Harsh.
So no answer. Just going to poke the new
Anybody
the new
else, Tommy? You said no or...
I just want a trophy.
You want a trophy? So yeah. You would take the trophy. You take the trade.
You're just going to rip Harry's knees out from
knees
him.
Knees can heal.
He'll be done. Two at the same time?
Two ACLs.
How do you even recover from that?
Hey, there was a match.
How do you even do that?
Let's just. Okay, he's a stubborn man. He might be playing with the torn ACL because for those who don't know, there was a Manchester City goalkeeper years ago, Bernd Schrauer, I think. He played a half with a broken neck. It can be done.
I was going to bring up Tiger winning the whatever. I can't remember if it was the U.S. Open, but he played the like last 2 days with a broken leg.
Shit, son.
One, yeah, fucking.
I mean, it's unlikely, but it's still.
I don't think you could do it with an ACL though.
No, not in
soccer.
We're talking about healing from two serious injuries.
So on that, I think we should focus on the second half.
Yeah, I think we need to wrap up.
Miyagi shit going on there.
I think we need to wrap up this half because this first half was ridiculously long. But great conversation, guys. Second half, we will talk about transfer rumors. They're still out there with the window slamming shut soon. And we will preview the Aston Villa game. But first, let's go to Tommy's back page update.
It's time for Tommy's Week in Spurs History. Tommy!
Hi, everyone. I'm Tommy, and this is your back page update. The Daily Mail is reporting that Bruno Fernandes wants his current club, Sporting Lisbon, to join Spurs this week. As of recording, it's debatable if Sporting Lisbon will stay in his way or not. The Express has claimed that Manchester United is pulling out of this, so it's a one-horse race, if anything. Well, this is two of the lingering rumors in the final week of the transfer window, and we sure could use this signing. It's rumored that the asking price could be up to £65 million, even though the buyout clause is £92 million. Personally, I don't see this transfer happening unless Christian Eriksen moves. Fernandez's preferred position is an attacking midfielder and is known for his offensive production. The Daily Record believes that Spurs agreed to a €60 million deal for Giovanni Lo Celso. The alleged deal would be €52 million plus €8 million in add-ons. I'm not sure what to believe. In the last episode of last season, the rumor at the time was €70 million. Even if we sign him, I'm not fully convinced that will be the solution to plug our holes in central midfield. We do need bodies. If he signs, I will reserve judgment. Lastly, in last week's press conference in Munich, manager Mauricio Pochettino was not pleased with the questions regarding the transfer activity and suggested his job title should be changed from manager to coach. Well, this is a little bit odd. Why? Because back when he signed his first extension of his contract in 2016, his title changed from head coach to manager, but claimed that his role was no different. So this begs the question, what's the point? Well, it's clearly the frustration. If this rumor is true, then the plot thickens. Hotspur Related did say that the Daily Mail alleges that Mauricio Pochettino rejected three incoming transfers presented to him by the Spurs board despite agreeing for deals. If this is true, he has no one else to blame. I'm Tommy, and this is your back page update.
Thanks, Tommy. I think there's some great information there, and I think it will roll it well into our second half transfer rumor conversation. But before we do that, we have one question on Twitter that I want to break the second half ice with. So let's go with that. Kevin?
Yeah, longtime listener, always asks good questions, Kyle Mates. What was your favorite soccer/football moment from the summer that wasn't Spurs related?
I don't mind starting that because for me, I really got into the Women's World Cup. I mean, in the United States, it's something that we can get really excited about. We usually win, and it was no different this time around. So to watch the U.S. Women's National Team bring down another trophy, it was just very exciting. It was very exciting to see how excited my wife was. She really enjoys watching the women, and to see her just feel so good about a competition, it made me feel good too, and I love watching it on my own as well. So that is my pick. How about you, Rick?
Yeah, it's the Women's World Cup, but it was the Nigerian team, but went absolutely ballistic when they had some VAR decisions that went against them, and they were crying on the pitch and threatening to leave.
That's your favorite thing from the summer, is a bunch of people crying over their hearts being ripped out?
I just thought it was
Rick likes women crying. That's what I get from this message.
There's a genre for that.
No, I just thought it was hilarious because, these are professional athletes. You're supposed to act in a professional way. And just because a decision goes against you, you're going to start crying on the pitch? I mean, it's ridiculous. You're going to threaten. Leave. No, but you don't threaten to walk out and cry on the pitch.
I agree with threatening to walk out, but I have no problem with anybody crying on the pitch because of the passion that they're showing.
I've seen grown men throw themselves on the ground because they missed a penalty in a World Cup game. So I don't think there's any shame in crying.
There's a difference between that and what they were. I mean, they were literally crying like the world is against us and everything else, and we're a bunch of women, and you know what I mean. It was just so funny. They actually got in trouble with the organizing committee because they threatened to leave.
Well, to quickly interject before Rick offends too many of our women listeners out there, I think, again, I will take my next point. What was my favorite moment of the entire summer football related? I didn't have one. Everyone knows I hate international football with a raging passion. But, Rick, I can see why that would bother you. I thought the same thing. I thought their reaction was childish. But
exactly.
To what Kevin was going to say, it's also different for us because we follow Spurs men, or you guys, some here, follow United States men. It's different because they have other opportunities for those women. I think it was like, was it the Nigeria team?
It was Nigeria.
It was an African team. That was their moment in the next 4 years, and for some of them, that's their only moment, so I kind of understand why they would be upset. You're right, 100%, to be that childish. When you're on that pitch representing your country, you need to be more professional than that.
You can't argue with VAR.
Yeah, exactly, VAR, but Man City tried to argue VAR, and look what that got them. So
no, they complained about VAR.
And that's all I'm saying is...
No, they complained about...
I didn't have a favorite moment because... My favorite moment starts on Saturday with us smashing Villa. So, Kevin.
Kevin, your favorite moment, because hopefully it's something that's a little more positive.
positive, depending on which way you're looking at it, I guess. So mine just happened yesterday during an MLS match. Alejandro Bedoya, after he scored a goal, ran to the sideline, grabbed a mic, and said, Congress do something in gun violence. And I just thought that with our current climate as a country, for a professional athlete, especially one who played a pretty prominent part in our national team for a little while, to be able to even think to do that is pretty crazy. And then what made it even better is MLS said, we're not even going to punish him. Like, he said what he said.
I thought that was a cool move by the MLS.
I think
regardless of what your
stance
is on gun violence, like
MLB,
regardless,
NFL,
I thought that was an awesome move.
NBA might not, but definitely Major League Baseball, National League Football League would 100%.
Do you want to give us some context? Because maybe some people might not know.
31 people were killed in two separate mass shootings this weekend alone.
Allegedly. No, I'm just kidding.
And
scumbags.
We just have a massive problem with gun violence. Whatever side of the argument you're on, I'm not here to talk politics. But
there was there's those little microphones that are on the edge of the pitch, yeah. And I don't know the guy's name. What was
Bedoya?
He scored a goal or something. He ran up to one of those microphones and he yelled out like, "Yo, Congress, do something and gun violence." Yeah. So
which they won't.
This was a pretty big moment. Like
huge
see
moment.
You don't see, especially
it's the equivalent of like Kaepernick soccer players for the NFL.
Kaepernick has literally been like ostracized, and then MLS is like, sweet, you know, whatever, you're fine, you're good, whatever.
It probably drew some attention to the MLS that they're happy to get.
Yeah, which is kind of dark, but yeah, but yeah, that I mean, the Women's World Cup was great. We had a lot of really fantastic moments in that. But that, for me, having a child now, like, it just hits me really hard. Like, a couple weeks ago, at one of these mass shootings, a six-year-old girl was killed. So, like, I don't know. I just thought it was fucking awesome and ballsy, and he was ready to just take whatever fine was coming at him. He didn't give a shit.
Hey, your daughter can get schools. A FOID card. Yeah. She can have a gun, too.
It's a thing that parents think about a lot because we have these shootings in schools.
And it's I just thought it was awesome that he was...
Very, very good shout out. And Tommy, did you have one yet?
I didn't realize what that moment happened yesterday with Bedoya, but that was actually kind of cool. But I hate politics, so I don't want to get into that even further. But, seeing the women win was actually pretty great. I mean, in our lifetime, this is our fourth World Cup win? So... I actually flew into New Orleans that day of the final and got to my hotel second half, saw all the goals, so that was actually pretty fun to see. But I don't support the Swedish women's team as much as the men, but it was nice to see them do well getting
third place.
Surprising,
since you really like white women.
Thank you for telling everyone. But Kosovare Aslani, hello.
Tommy's wearing a Sweden kit right now.
Yeah, as we speak.
Yeah, but she's Kosovare Aslani. She's a good-looking lady and talented to boot.
And I would give honorable mention to the celebrations on social media of the women winning because that was pretty ridiculous.
Oh, that was a lot of fun, too.
Because they were all
hammered. Have a chance to check out those videos online because that is...
I am going to be political and I'm going to say what Rapoponi said to Rapinoe. Trump was pretty good as well.
Yeah.
And the other thing I want to say, this is a stark contrast from watching men's soccer. Women, they get fouled, they get hurt.
They get up.
They just roll with the punches. And I'm like, it's actually refreshing to see this. And you don't see a lot of the bitching, like where you see like, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo or Nani. Like, they're, for me, those are the two biggest known divers.
Oh, no,
so,
Neymar.
Neymar,
okay,
yeah.
That's pretty bad. But seeing the women taking in stride and get on with the game, I'm actually pretty pleased with that.
Well, you don't see any of it in Tottenham, so... Well, other than Lamella, like maybe once in a while.
Kane got booked for diving once.
Bale.
Dele Alli got... No, I'm talking about not diving. Everyone dives. I'm talking about like rolling around like you just got shot like Neymar.
Oh, yeah. That's
we don't problem. We don't embellish injuries. Like, sure, everyone dives when you're in the box, but...
You can't prove that Dele Alli didn't get shot.
That's fair. Anthony, what do you got for us?
Well, let's roll this along. Like, let's keep this moving. Let's kind of go back to some of Tommy's points and some of the transformers that we've had. I mean, I think the big one that we can start with is the Lo Celso, I think the pronunciation, correct, Tommy? What do you guys think? Is he the guy that we're bringing in? Is it the Dybala stuff that we've been hearing, or is that just a kind of a red herring? What do we have going on here, guys?
I think that if we're going to get anything over the line, it's going to be Lo Celso, because I think they have... A, they've already signed his replacement. They have to get him out because his contract is up next year. So you're either going to see him go now, go in January, or walk on a free. So they don't want to have him walk on a free or get robbed in January.
He just got signed from PSG or whatever.
Yeah, but because PSG somehow, again, I might be wrong on this, but I know PSG gets somehow tied into their money.
Like whether it be a future transfer
or PSG somehow gets tied into their, which is why they're trying to jack the cost up. So I know what they're trying to do is they're trying to create a bidding war, which is why they're waiting so long. And I think we are waiting so long because... we know that they have to sell him because they signed his replacement. So I think that for us, Levy's thinking we're going to sign him if they're trying to create a bidding war. There hasn't been any evidence of a bidding war. So for Levy, it benefits both sides to wait, which is why everyone's freaking out about how the deal hasn't got done. But I think that's just classic business, and that's how business deals get done. For them, there's no benefit to sell right now. For us, there's no benefit to buy right now. It's going to be a kind of wait it out and see, and then the deal will force itself. I think that one's going to get over the line.
So do you think DiBella is kind of the red herring that that we're just using to get the Lo Celso deal done? Is that
I think that was an Argentine thing.
I mean, I don't know about him. That would be like just ridiculous signing if we got DiBella. Lo Celso, I don't know, man. It's been so back and forth. Like the Portuguese, which I don't even know why they're the ones reporting on it constantly, have said that we've agreed terms with them like six times. And I don't know. We also have been supposedly in for Bruno Fernandes.
Yep.
I don't know. I think we have a question about these two guys from somebody. I don't know who I'd rather want because, to be honest, I haven't watched enough of either of them. I just trust Poch and assume that he's going to pick the best one or just whichever one we can get.
Quick point from Lucas, and let's go to that question.
Yeah, because absolutely. I wanted to say real quick that I think that the thing with DiBella, though, is I think that that was, A, I'm just happy that we're involved in that conversation. That shows a lot of how far we've come over the last few years. But I think that with him, where would he play? He's an attacking forward player. It's like we already have Kane and Son and Lucas. It's like those are three guys right there that are world-class players.
Yeah, a lot of DiBella, people. Yeah, but again, he's been playing out of position.
Yeah, but again, I don't want to buy somebody for 80 mil that's playing out of position.
I think that
might be the red herring. I think the better question is it Fernandes or Lo Celso?
Well, see, that's the thing with DiBella. If he is a top-tier quality player like this, and you shape the formation that would suit him and their other best offensive weapons, whether it be Son and Kane. So if Poch has to switch to, I don't know, a 4-3-2-1 or whatever, then so be it.
But is DiBella better than Lucas or Son?
I think it's debatable right now.
I
don't know. In the Premier League, probably not Son,
but I would say probably Lucas.
Son and Lucas, they both fit into the current system, so I guess in theory it's debatable. Would DiBella fit into the 4-2-3-1?
My question is, would you spend 80 million on somebody that you don't know would outrank Lucas or Son?
I would, on him.
Oh, yeah.
On him, because I think he could do multiple jobs. But what do you think on this, Rick?
I don't want DiBella at all. And I'll tell you why. Poch seems to buy players that fit in with the squad. You know, they're players that are friendly with players that we already have. Like, you know, Ndombele and Sissoko are very good friends. Moura and Ore are very good friends. I mean, we're all bought separately. DiBella just seems like a Chelsea purchase of a mercenary player that just wants as much money as he wants.
But he doesn't. He turned down a fuckload of money from United.
Well, they're offering him... No, from what
they
I...
They were almost doubling his wages.
What I heard was they offered him a lot of money and he said, no, I want $350,000 a week.
No, he's already... He's all, no.
Maybe that's just his way of saying...
I heard the 350 number. So Rick's onto something here, but I
think we can't count on anything that we've heard from...
I just think he's a mercenary. That is the kind of player that City would buy or Chelsea would buy that we shouldn't buy. You know, he's the kind of player that will unsettle the squad, get paid more than everybody else, and everybody else will start getting pissed off. And I just don't think it's a good idea.
But I think we have two quick points on this one.
I think you're omitting a potential that he's only saying, man, you pay me $350K a week because he doesn't want to play there.
Yeah.
He'll go there to play for that much.
You can just say no. You don't have to say, give me this. You can just say no.
Well, if he wants to name his price to go somewhere he doesn't really want to go, I guess you could say that's mercenary, but that's also just him saying, like, I'm going to throw out some outlandish number that, like, if they actually are willing to pay me, maybe I'll consider it. But he's never, in any other aspect of his game, shown any type of mercenary idea of, like, that's the way he thinks. He went to Juve because he wanted to play with Ronaldo, I believe, because he wanted to learn from one of the best players in the world. He didn't go there because they were paying him a shitload of money. I think, and you talk about we sign all these guys who are friends with people. He's from Argentina. We have Foyth. We have Lamella. We have Poch. Am I free? We might have fucking...
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, that's it.
Well, Lo Celso could be Argentina. Like, you know, like, I don't see him having any trouble fitting in.
You forgot Gazzaniga.
And there's no chance. There's no chance he makes more than Harry.
That's
so we're not gonna break.
Or if he does,
no, that was no, that was.
We're never gonna break our structure for him. But I honestly think that if we are seriously in for him, I don't think he's gonna require more than Harry. I think he's gonna be fine with the wages he's on now, which is it's like right at the same level as Harry. And dude should probably be paid the same level as Harry. Not gonna lie, I mean he's
not in our league,
and he might want to play under Poch. I think that's the appeal for a lot of this Argentinian.
And supposedly,
players.
Poch and him have had multiple phone conversations, but again, so, who
there might be
knows
some
what's real
smoke there, but it also might be a pipe dream.
Are we going to spend $80 million on any player?
I mean, but here's the thing, and again, what we think he should be paid means nothing because. Look, I could probably go out there and play in the Italian league, and I could probably bang in 15 goals a year, too, because that league is fucking garbage. And it takes a different caliber of player to come and adapt to the Premier League, and that's something we all know. Again, what was – I'm going to bring it back to Soldado. What was he banging, 20 a year for Valencia, and then comes in and was arguably the worst player that's ever put a Spurs shirt on? So it's
Rozsiak
like
was worse, but yes, I mean,
yeah,
I get
we could always, but yeah, again, so again, like I don't think that what you said, Kevin, makes so much sense with Kane being the wage structure. We can't break the bank on wage structure. So if wages are a big deal for, or if that's a deal breaker for a player, that's too bad because we're not going to get them because we're not going to break the bank for somebody and pay them more than we're not going to pay them like a freaking, what's his name? Ghost for Arsenal.
Ozil.
We're not going to pay him $300,000 a week to stand there and do nothing. If you're going to be paid, you're going to be working, and you're not going to be paid more than Harry Kane. So,
yeah. Well, let's have a point from Kevin. Let's go to that question afterwards.
My point's going off in another direction, so I'll just ask the question. It's who would you prefer, Lo Celso or Fernandez? And I already answered, I don't fucking know. I don't know enough about him.
It doesn't matter at this point. As long
I actually agree with you, Rick. It doesn't matter at this point. We just need to sign one of the two. Either one
works.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter because if let's say we sign one of them and we don't sell Eriksen, then that midfield is loaded.
If Eriksen stops missing penalties and
we might need that with injuries. Dele Alli's already hurt, so it might be nice to have that.
Are you saying if we buy one of them and keep Eriksen?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I'm banking on.
Our midfield is loaded.
So I would love to jump in because that's where my answer would be Lo Celso because I've seen what he's able to do, again, with it being La Liga, so who knows, bunch of crap. But he is so effective and so deadly from a deeper position. I think what we saw last year, everyone raved about how Eriksen had an off year last year, which to our standards, he did. He had an off year. To the Premier League standards, he had, double-digit assists, double-digit goals.
Pretty sure he led
the
league in assists.
Yeah. So he was great last year, but he was off to our standards because we didn't have a central midfield, so he was forced to play so much deeper. If we have a Ndombele, a healthy Sissoko, or plug in a Winks, Dyer, Wanyama, whatever you want, plus a Lo Celso, I think it will allow Eriksen to play higher up the pitch, which he is so much more lethal with the Son, Lucas, Dele, Kane, those people that he wants to be up front with, where we've seen him be so lethal before. I think Lo Celso will be such a great addition and allow him to be higher and allow him to just be a deadly combo with the guys that we've seen him do it before with.
So your message is free Christian Eriksen.
Free Christian Eriksen.
Allow him to not be.
We're on a campaign.
He was working harder than anyone other than Sissoko. He was all over the pitch. We need him up front, and we don't need him to be sagging deep for those responsibilities.
Or even for Harry Kane, for example, as well, because he's drifting in the middle as well.
So somebody, I feel like that's why to answer the question, Lo Celso over Fernandez, is I think Lo Celso offers that security and a deeper midfield level, which would allow Eriksen and all
fair,
of our
fair,
up front
fair
guys.
Point. I mean, I think we're getting some of that from the defensive midfield now from Dombele, but
let's hope so.
But definitely.
I definitely agree with Lo Celso as well, just based on need as well, because, like I said before, I think our central midfield is still a little suspect. Winks and Skip and whoever else, like, yeah, those two could be really good, but they're not up there yet. So we got to plug in this hole. And like Lucas was saying, let Eriksen, you know, Son Lamela, et cetera, Kane, let them focus in their end of the half. But to answer the – but other than that, I'd still rather have Donny van de Beek, but that's besides the point.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Well, Kevin, do you have another point on this before we kind of shift gears and I want to talk
– Yeah, we haven't
other
mentioned –
transfers.
The, in my opinion, the most – probable signing that we're going to make, and it sounds like it's going to happen maybe while we're asleep.
Sessegnon
is supposedly in London for. Well, I mean,
that's
plays,
where
he plays for Fulham, so he's in London anyways. But at our grounds for a medical, and we could be signing him. Supposedly, it's like already done.
That would explain why he wasn't playing for Fulham yesterday.
Yeah, him or his brother.
A week ago that they were saying that they're not moving him at all? Like,
yeah, but I mean, if a player eventually just says, like, look, dude, I mean, in today's market, the players literally have all the power. I mean, even when you look at Eriksen and Toby, like, they're going to get to go to pretty much anywhere they want if next summer. Like, they're going to have their choice of clubs, and they're going to make a fuckload of money because those teams aren't going to have to pay a transfer fee. So if a player just says, sell me or I'm not going to play or whatever he wants to do, like, and the dude has been wanting to come to us for 2 years now. Like, it would be a disservice by Fulham, in my opinion, to keep him if he wants to leave that badly. And it sounds like he's wanted to come to us the whole time.
And there's two disadvantages that Fulham are at right now. I think from what I read, Sessegnon is at the last season of his contract. So that means if he leaves for a free transfer next year, it means that Fulham will get compensated for his training, but that means he'll go to a tribunal. So if they don't get – so they're probably going to get less than the $30 million that is rumored right now. Lastly, next offseason is going to be Euros. So I think Ryan Sessegnon might want to push for that Euro spot. Yeah. So I think that's – kind of the unfortunate, like, it's very rare to see somebody from the second tier play for England for a big tournament. The last time I remember was like a guy from Wolves in 1990.
Steeple.
I don't think they have a choice. I think that, again, Sess, he's put in a transfer request. I think he knows. Doesn't matter what other offer comes in, he wants to work under Poch. He's seen what Poch can do with, again, going to resort back to this one, but a dickhead like Trippier. He's seen what he can do with him. He's seen what he could do with Ben Davis. He's seen what he's doing with Rose, Walker, Serge, Walker Peters. He's seen what he can do. He's basically the fullback whisperer, and I think Sessegnon realizes that. He wants to stay in London. He wants to work under Pochettino. I don't understand why we haven't got that deal over the board yet, but I think
the rumor is that it's been done for a while and the club haven't announced him because they're waiting because we haven't signed anybody else.
Well,
so they want to have
a little cherry on top at the end. Scott Parker, do your boys a favor and throw us one back. You're welcome for your job, by the way. Like,
he'll be out of a job by Christmas.
He can play both sides of the pitch, right?
Technically, he can play both sides.
Rumor is, but he's really a Rose backup, right?
Yeah.
I would feel better if he could play the other side
more
regularly.
I want him to learn under Danny. That's what I want. I want him to study under Danny, and then Ben Davies just kind of watches and comes in for FA Cup games. Like, that's what my goal is.
Ben Davies is a fucking legend of this club.
He can play center back, too. He can back up there, too.
We're back three, but yeah.
Anyways, right. Sessegnon also, like, he fits our style of play. 100%. Like he is the perfect fit. There is no better fit out there that I could think of off the top of my head that you would want to buy right now. He's young. He's
moldable. Moldable clay.
He wants to get forward. Like, I mean, his whole mindset. Like, he was playing as a...
left winger.
Yeah, a left winger for Fulham because...
Might be the next Bale.
I'd rather keep him at left.
There's back. Only one Bale.
But
I think it has to be left back, but I've heard rumors. I've heard other people tell me, like, oh, well, he can play the right back role. This replaces the Trippier, but I don't think that's the solution over there.
Yeah,
I'd still like to see something acquired over there. And I know, like, we had that debate first half, but I don't think he ticks that box. But I guess we do have the fourth. As a third option over there.
Once he's
back. Might be what they're banking on once he's back.
I wouldn't be surprised if Foyth is our second choice right back.
You'll see. Surge and KWP.
Well, how about other transfers? So are we bringing Gareth Bale in? Is this happening? Is this
no.
Don't even want him, personally.
The fact that
it's funny, but Gareth Bale's turned into a mercenary. He never was, but then he... Suddenly now, it's give me money. I'm not going to play.
You can't blame the guy. It's his last
contract. You can blame the
guy. No, you fucking can't. He's been treated like absolute garbage.
He's not even been helping himself, though.
Get the fuck out of here! Shh. All he does is score goals. Huge fucking goals.
No, he's done a couple
Champions of... League final.
No, he did a couple of...
Champions really... League final.
He did a couple,
Champions League final.
He did a couple of
Champions League
he
final.
He did a couple of negative things in front of the fans when other players scored.
After years of them beating the shit out of his car,
you're both
telling him he sucks.
You're both right.
Hating on the man for
why did they hate on him? Why? Why did they start?
Because they're fucking Real Madrid fans,
They are a fickle bunch.
Are you kidding me right now?
No, they turned on him because...
Boys.
They turned on him because they're the worst fans on the fucking planet.
You're right, and you're right. Boys, you're both right, Rick.
Randomly turn on a planet.
I'm just enjoying this conversation.
Yes, they do it. No.
Right
they
now,
do it all shame the time. On, boys. They hate on anybody who doesn't have a fucking worldie every fucking game.
Yeah,
shame
on...
Because they're spoiled fucks.
Shame on Anthony for bringing this conversation upon us, but you're both right. A, yes, he could have acted better. B, Kevin's right. You can't go be a legend at Spurs and then walk into Madrid and expect to be anything other than what want you to be. They expect you to be Messi or better or Ronaldo or whatever they're
and
used
he was like
to
just
in their
below.
Leagues. And what he did for them, he helped them win three or four Champions Leagues that he helped them win. But this adds back to Rick's point. If you're him, look, you made all the money. Just come home. Because you know who never made fun of you? Us. We loved you.
Yeah. But
we sang songs about you, and we had your back every day. I had my poster of him on my wall in college.
We could never afford him in any realm
of
possibility.
That's his choice, but...
It's not as... He has a contract.
He could say, hey, I
want to
make less than Harry, and I just want to play with Harry.
But if... I'm sorry. I don't have any problem with what he's...
No, nor do I. Nor do I.
He's
we can't expect loyalty
imagine
in football
him,
anymore.
He can't stay healthy in La Liga. Imagine him trying. I want him. Believe me.
I know.
Like I want him more than almost anybody in the world to come back. But
what's our next? What's our next big question there?
Well, how about outgoing transfers? It looks like Toby's staying, right? Yeah, we think he's staying. Or
well, he's
the
been
rumors
linked
are back
to Roma
on the board.
For
he's linked again.
Nice.
So Eriksen, is he staying? Like let's talk outgoing transfers at this point.
Everybody and their brother knew he had a buyout clause. $25 million from last Thursday. Everybody and their brother in the world,
and they
that.
Didn't take it. Yeah,
and no one took it. And now, if they try and buy him, it's going to be double that. He's not going anywhere because if it was going to happen, it would have happened last week.
Yeah, like it floored me that it didn't. Like you would think somebody was looking at that and saying, "This is a great price for a defender of his caliber."
United turned around and spent $80 million on
Maguire.
Exactly what I was going
to say. On Mr. Forehead and make him go.
Like I get that Toby's older, but like Jesus Christ, man, $25 million or $80 million, like
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that somebody like Liverpool or Man City wouldn't have just been like, "Fuck it." market. What do we have to worry about? 25 mil? Like, let's just buy.
Well, but he would have to agree to go.
And that's the big thing. And I think that that's something that everyone's kind of forgotten about, is that Toby has to want it. Toby has to okay it.
Man City needed a centre-back.
But it didn't matter. Toby wouldn't have gone there. And that's something I think that is credit to Poch in the chemistry and the team that Poch has built, is I don't think, again, and it's the same thing with Eriksen. We asked about outgoing transfers. I don't think Eriksen would want to go to United and fuck over, excuse my language, but fuck over all of his friends and podcast. All of his relationships that he's built there at Spurs with Poch, all of his ex-IX
boys.
It's
all business. I
agree to an extent. Exactly. I think that Eriksen would say, fuck it, I want to go to Barcelona. I don't think he would go to Man United to say, I'm going to play you guys and I'm going to compete against you guys, his friends. I think Pochettino has actually built a chemistry and a real camaraderie. And again, this is wishful thinking. But again, we could bring back the Sol Campbell stuff. But Sol Campbell wasn't playing with buddies under a good man. Like, when you see every one of these videos, Uno tournaments, like all the other nonsense that we have in our own, like our own dressing room that is like our thing, I think that we've built something, and Poch has built something. I say we, like I'm fucking part of it. But like Poch has built something. But like, I don't think that Eriksen would be like, screw it, I want to go to United just to make more money. Eriksen said, I want a new challenge. What about United as a new challenge? You're going to be below us. We're going to smoke you. He might be leaving.
Long term, though, because he's only like, what, 26?
Eriksen? No, he's older than that.
I think there's another question here, though. Like, if we don't sell Eriksen now, do we miss out on a payday that we could have had?
Forget it.
Are we going to lose him anyway, and we're not going to get the payday? Saying, or is it the value of having him for another year worth the payday that we could have had?
You're saying if we don't sell him. But if no one wants to buy him, we can't sell him.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, is nobody really wants him, which is a little worrying.
Nobody wants him at the price want.
Correct.
That's the issue.
Well, but I don't know. Real didn't seem to want him at all.
But I think that that
doesn't rate him.
I think that that bids to the point that Anthony just made, is it's more beneficial to us to keep him, because say nobody buys him in the next 7 days. It now becomes on him to build his own value. Yeah, the next entire season, he's got to prove how much he's worth. Because just because he's walking on a free doesn't mean he's going to get paid whatever he wants. He's now got to build how much he's worth. It's the same thing with this summer, how we value Nkudu. Nkudu this summer has built up some money that we can say, hey, this is how much he's worth. Look at what he's worth. It's going to be the whole season for Eriksen. Just because nobody wanted to buy him right now, he could go ahead and prove himself and be the best player in the Prem this entire season. And now someone's going to come in and be like, I'm going to pay you 700 grand a week or something absurd. So I think that it does benefit us. If nobody wants to buy him, like Rick said, if nobody wants to buy him right now, let's keep him and make him prove his worth, and we could have a great season. And hey, say we go back to the Champions League final. Say we have new upcoming talent that just want to be a part of Tottenham. That's all stuff that benefits us. So if nobody wants to buy him right now, let's keep him, make him prove his worth, have a great season out of it, and it could benefit us in the long run.
Yeah, even if we don't get the
If we don't get the whatever millions that it would have been.
We got the years out of
Eriksen. It could benefit us in the long run.
We got the years of performance out of Eriksen.
We could get somebody that's twice his talent for half the price next season because they want to come to Spurs or something like that.
Donny van de Beek.
It's outside the box thinking. I like it. What do you have, Kevin?
I mean, yeah, but he's going to be able to get paid pretty much whatever he wants because he's going on a free. So they're not going to have to pay a transfer fee. So they can pretty much pay him whatever they want.
But if he has a shit year, what leverage does he have?
Aaron Ramsey's getting paid $600,000 a week by Juve or something because he went on a free.
Yeah, but he's
talking
good,
Ramsey.
Though.
Yeah, Ramsey.
We're talking about Christian Eriksen. Hey,
hang on. To say, all right.
I believe
Eriksen is 20 times the player Ramsey is.
But I agree, Ramsey's very good.
It's an apples and oranges.
But is it where you want to be? Because he could go to China and make a million, but do you want to go be in China at your peak of your career and compete? I think he still wants to compete for stuff.
I mean, I think so does Aaron Ramsey, and that's why he went to Juve. But
they're going to get fucking fisted by us if they come across us in the championship.
But I'm just making the point.
You have a good point.
They don't have to pay.
Ramsey did the same thing, and he ended up getting a huge payout.
Way more than Eriksen would get if he went anywhere right now, and we got the transfer. Like, quality, way more.
Quality of life.
And I think a lot of players are holding out because they saw the Ramsey move, and it's fucked up the whole transfer window, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I would be trying to leave on a free if I was any player.
Absolutely. I think Kevin's point is absolutely dynamite, but I also think that, like, I think Juve might have just dropped the ball on that one.
I mean,
if you had that money, it's because you have stupid money that you don't know what to do with that you would pay. Like, I wouldn't pay half that.
The thing is they're paying less than they're still paying less than what his transfer fee would have been.
True.
That's the way they're looking at
exactly.
it. And they're like, all right, well, I can pay this guy this much money, and it's still less than what I would have had to pay.
True.
So super, I'll give him the
super
extra
valid
that he
point.
Wants.
I think that Eriksen would – I think that he's going to want to go somewhere that he knows he can compete at a big level, and I just – I don't think it's going to be – and he wants to play. So I don't think he's going to be Hazard's backup at Real Madrid if they don't want him. I think he's going to want to be somewhere he's desired – and making the big bucks.
Yeah,
I hope you're right, but this has definitely been an interesting conversation. I think we have a good sense of where we're hopefully going in and out.
Are we going to talk some Villa?
Next week, we'll be able to know what happened with the window slamming shut. We'll have a game to talk about, which will be exciting. So we'll actually be able to talk about performance on the field. So that'll be a great topic next week. But I think we need to preview that game now. So let's shift from the transfer talk and let's talk about Aston Villa coming up. Now, I don't have as much of a preview as I normally would have because we don't have any stats yet because nothing's happened yet. But so Aston Villa, we play at home Saturday, August 10th. It's 11:30 here in Chicago, which is fantastic for us opening day. Like, we never get to have the late game opening day. So for us to
it's literally the new stadium.
Did Villa play in the United States, by the way, this summer?
No.
Did they play in the United States?
I thought Villa played in the United States.
They may have, like, let's look that up.
I'll look it up.
Currently, I did do a form on them. I didn't bother to write down the teams because it was championship and preseason, but they have won their last five games for whatever that means. After they play us, they will play Bournemouth at home. So they play us at our home. So they're on the road, and then they travel the next week to Bournemouth for a 9 a.m. match the following Saturday. So that's kind of what they have going on. I didn't obviously don't have any of the top players at this point. Notable players at this point, of course, they just recently got Jota from Spain, a Spanish player, and then we all know about Jack Grealish, who everybody tried to get last off season. He's in their midfield. Those are kind of some of the notable players, but obviously we don't have stats to talk about their top.
Tom Heaton is
12 players, so I have no idea how they're going to play.
And it's like all defensive guys, too. They like completely reconstructed their defense.
It's like $120 million
or something. In my opinion, this has to be a fucking just slaughter. We need to go out and put our foot down, show everybody that we're the fucking Tottenham that should beat a team like this, because with a defense that has never played a actual match together going against our offense, like, in my opinion, we got to score goals. It's a home game. It's a team coming up from the lower league. We need to just set a precedent and get the season off to a good fucking start.
No, we have some players that are unavailable, right? Son's on a red card, right?
Deli's out.
Deli's out.
Is Foyth on a red card, too?
No, but Foyth's out.
Sissoko.
Oh, he's injured, but yeah.
Sissoko played yesterday, so he should be fine, I would imagine.
There was one other player that got a red card the same time as Son, right?
It was Foyth, yeah.
It was against Bournemouth away,
and it was horrific, but, I mean... Whatever. We won't miss him anyway. We got other right backs.
But we have Lucas Moura, who, again, in the preseason has been lighting it up. We have fucking Harry Kane. We have Eriksen, if he decides to show up, which He really hasn't in the preseason. I mean, he's missed two penalties and not looked very good.
LaMelo's been good this time
LaMelo's
of year.
LaMelo's been great.
Yeah, he's looking in the preseason, and this time of year seems to be fairly good for him before he has a chance to get hurt.
Yeah, it's just health.
Yeah, it usually takes him about 5 games, then he gets hurt.
Yeah,
but the, early in the season, we can kind of count on him. Mora was really huge last start of the season, so there's that.
I think that something that not a lot of people are taking into consideration is the fact that we're home. Yeah. So, look, this isn't us opening day at Wembley. We're not playing Fulham at home like we did opening day at Wembley last year. Like, actually, after the Newcastle away. I mean, this is opening day after us in the Champions League final. Do you think our players aren't going to be hungry for that? Like, the last thing that they've given us was a loss in the Champions League final. These guys that are out there, Eriksen or not, like whether or not he wants to still be part of Spurs, if he's out there, my God, these guys are going to be clicking and we are going to be hungry, and that's something that Villa's not going to be ready for. Look, congrats, you won your playoff at Wembley to get promoted, and you had a bunch of people there, and you partied in Trafalgar Square, and you all had a big blast, but great. It's now N17, everyone there, 62,000 yids, everyone's going to be up for it. It's going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah. I mean, it's very rare we actually get a home game.
Yeah.
First game of the season.
I can't remember the last home game we had to start the season in Tottenham.
Late game.
As the late afternoon
Might
Saturday kickoff.
Game in 09.
Yeah, it's been a while, and we're all going to be up for it.
Because that means Arsenal are playing away. And who are we playing away to? It's something like Liverpool.
Newcastle,
yeah.
Wow. So they're playing away in Newcastle, which is...
Make them travel all the way up there.
Exactly,
that's,
yeah.
It's
what we usually get.
Yeah, we usually seem to have to start those games like with the weird... I guess we had Fulham last year, but...
By the way, I'm going to quickly interject. Looked it up. Aston Villa played in the United States against Minnesota in July.
Wow.
So
Did
I called
Minnesota them. Win?
I doubt it.
No, it was 3-0 Villa, but I mean...
We're talking about practice.
My left nut could beat Minnesota by 6, so we're fine.
So that means Villa's shit.
No, nah,
so
yeah.
They couldn't win by 6.
What do you think our setup is? What is our squad? What do we think we're going to go out there with? I think Kevin was up first.
Hugo in goal, obviously.
Nice
defense.
Nice start.
Danny on the left. I guess Sanchez and Toby in the middle, and then...
Is Vertonghen injured?
No.
Oh, just sorry. I'm an idiot.
We knew that.
Toby and Jan in the middle, and then that's the question. I guess it's got to be Kyle Walker-Peters on the right. Then I think... I got a feeling Ndombele doesn't start. I think maybe he's the first sub to come on. So I think it might be Winks and Sissoko. And then we're going to have Lucas, Harry, Eriksen, and...
Probably LaMelo.
And LaMelo.
By default.
Yeah. I think it's a pretty straightforward squad. The only question is whether or not Ndombele starts for me.
Who plays in the same
So a counter game like probably with Son and Mora out there?
I mean, with Harry out there, he can hold the ball up. Just, you know... I would like to see lots of countering. Fast breaks with that speed, yeah.
I think that counters, we're not going to see any counters. It's Villa. They're going to be playing for a point. It's their promotion day.
They're going to be parking the bus.
They're going to be playing for a point. Grealish is going to be in for a rude awakening now that he's going to see the people that he could have been playing with. It's going to be a tough day for him. But I think that something we need to give Poch credit for is I think Poch lined up against Inter Milan the other day. He lined up very similar. That's why we didn't see Son start, is he was lining up, giving everyone kind of a test run as to what we'll see next week. So I think it's going to be Hugo, obviously. We're going to see Jan and Toby, and we'll see Rose and Walker Peters. We'll see Sissoko either in Ndombele or Winks. We'll see. I don't know about LaMelo. I still think LaMelo's a bench guy, but if he's healthy and he's in form and he's been playing like he has been, we might see LaMelo start. but it's going to be Lucas and Kane, Eriksen. It's going to be very similar to what we saw start against Inter Milan. And I think, again, we scored, what, the first 3 minutes, and then we kind of just called the dogs off and called it a friendly. But I don't think that we'll see Villa do anything but park the bus. It's going to be Burnley-esque. It's going to be Tony Pulis-esque. Like, it's going to be park the bus and let's get ahead of them early. We get ahead of them early, it could be a bloodbath. If we don't, it might be a drag-out 1-0, 2-0 finish, but...
I think that's certainly a possibility.
They're not going
to
come.
It's the first game of the season. It's tough to break that ice that fast. Like where you like you're not going to score 4 goals that first game very often.
And they're not going to come in newly promoted, being hungry to go try and get a win at White Hart Lane at the very debut of that new state. They're going to be parking it. So we need to find a way to get across it early and find a way to crack that and get ahead.
But it might be an easy nut to crack, as I think probably Kevin's point.
And if we do, it could be 5-0. Who knows?
Yeah. So, any other thoughts before I go to predictions?
I'm betting the over.
The over? The over 4 or the over 3?
Whatever it is. It's probably going to be 3.5, I would imagine. So.
Yeah, it'll be 3.5.
I think we probably score 4 goals.
I don't know enough about betting. Like we're talking about just the over for the combined score.
Yeah, combined score. Yeah.
And most of it will be ours.
I think all of it will be.
any other thoughts, Rick, Tommy? Before we
nothing.
Let's go to predictions. Let's start with Rick this time, because Rick has turned a new leaf and he is going to make responsible, reasonable predictions for games. So let's see what Rick has here for this game against Aston Villa.
I think we'll win 2-1.
2-1?
2-1. Okay. I think they'll get a lucky goal at some point, but I think we'll have too much power for them to get a couple of goals. 2-1.
2-1 seems
Wait,
like
who's a... Scoring?
Who's scoring?
Oh, who's scoring? Kane and Lamella.
Each get 2?
He said 2-1.
Oh.
He doesn't think we're going to cover the over. I got 4-0. Us. Harry with 2, Lamella with 1, Lucas with 1.
Bold prediction?
None for them. Hugo gets first clean sheet. Doesn't have to do much for it, though.
Tommy, what do you have?
I have a clean sheet as well, but it's 2-0. Lamella and Eriksen will score. I love Kane to score, but we know his general record in August isn't so great.
Good. Fair point with the Harry in August. He did break the ice finally, but this is still really early August.
Yeah, but you're forgetting about one key milestone, and that's why I say it's going to be 4-1. 2 goals for Lucas, because my God, is he going to be hungry after not getting that start in the Champions League final. He's going to be ready to prove himself.
And he just won the Audi Cup, man.
But
he's still riding that high.
We're forgetting the Harry milestone. He has yet to bag one in the new stadium. So it's going to be Harry in 2 and Lucas in 2, and then they'll just get like a cheap-ass, stupid-ass goal with like 90 minutes. But it'll be 4-1, Lucas with 2, Harry with 2.
Okay, let me see. I think somebody's going to have like the fuck you Sherwood sign out like in the fans. That's one of my predictions. Like there's going to be something like negative about Sherwood up in the fan base, like
he is a
signs,
dick face.
Just because I was at the a lot of us were at the game where Aston Villa beat us with Sherwood as their coach at home. That was rough. That was my only time at White Hart Lane, painfully, but it was actually a wonderful experience. But I am going to predict a win. So I think it's going to be a 2-0 win. I agree that Lamella is just good this time of year, and I think he is going to, even if he comes in on as a sub, he's going to get one of the goals. And I'm going to give Mora the other one, because Mora is the guy who last year was our big performer early in the season. So I think Lamella and Mora get goals, 2-0. I think it's a fun game. I really can't wait to get out here and watch this game. It's definitely going to be an exciting one. Any other thoughts? We don't have stadium updates to go to anymore, Rick, because...
Well, there will be, because we're still doing some work on the stadium, like The expansion of the sky roof. There's a few other minor things, so I'll have to look them up and see what they are. But over the summer, there was work being done.
Good. So we'll have to update a little bit. So maybe the stadium update hasn't completely died yet, but it's starting to fade.
Because one of the last things they were doing was they were expanding the family areas for the players. Apparently, it was too small. They spent a lot of money making them bigger.
Yeah. And my stadium update is that it's not Wembley, so that's all we need to know.
Fuck Wembley.
That's all we need to know.
At least we have some experience playing there if we ever have to play a cup competition. No, that's the next thing.
We're going to be ready.
But anyway, I think that probably wraps it up. Great podcast, guys. I really enjoyed it. It's great to be back. We'll be back next week to talk about this Aston Villa game and preview the next game. So at this point, thanks to Rick for editing and sound, Charlie for the music, Kevin for social media, Tommy for back page update, Kimberly for the logo. Kimberly designed our new logo. Have a look at it. I hope it pops up correctly on social media. If it doesn't, we'll get that fixed soon. But we're hoping it when we upload this episode, the new logo will come with it. But it's definitely on our Facebook and our social media. Kimberly really came up with a great logo for us. She worked with us hard on that, so we really appreciate her work on that. Thanks to the Atlantic Bar and Grill for the use of the recording space, as always. And hit the subscribe button and write us a review on iTunes if you like the pod, or check us out wherever you get your podcasts and give us a review. Check us out on Twitter and Facebook at 4StarSpurs and our website at www.4starspurs.com. Come on, you Spurs.